listening to the True Idaho News Podcast. Unfiltered news and opinion for the citizens of Idaho.
Hello and welcome to the True Idaho News Podcast. My name is Daniel Bobinski, editor of True Idaho News. And with me today is my co-host, Josh Gibbons. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Daniel. How's it going?
It's going great. And I want to also give a shout out to Tom Lopak with Picture Perfect Window Cleaning. If you happen to support True Idaho News at the triple diamond level, then you get a shout out here on the podcast. So if you want to, you know, go to trueidahonews.com/support, you can look at the different levels of sponsorship to help support what we do with the podcast, with the website. And if you want to support us at the triple diamond level, well, like I said, then you get a shout out. And for Tom, we give a shout out to his business because Picture Perfect Window Cleaning is Tom's business. They clean windows, they do screen repair, they do gutter cleaning, power washing. And I know there's not much time before Christmas, but if you still want to put up some Christmas lights, you can call Tom and he'll get those up for you. You can go to windowcleaningboise.com. That's windowcleaningboise.com or give Tom a call 208-401-6265. When you call them, tell them that you heard about it on the True Idaho News Podcast. You're going to get 10% off. So give Tom a call, 208-401-6265. Get your windows clean before your holiday parties or your New Year's parties. All right, Josh, we have got a lot of stuff on our plate today. Idaho News, things that people should know about. What has been the big aha for you this past week?
Well, the big thing that's caught my eye this week is, of course, the Idaho Health Ethics Committee looking at rule changes. There was some proposed, and they realized that there is a problem there. So,
well, did they realize there's a problem, or did they just hear the fact that there might be problems? Because my understanding is that the committee took no action.
Yeah, they do realize, at least one member does realize that there is a problem. Brent Crane did do an interview where he did say, hey, you know what? What Priscilla Giddings got, you know, in trouble for, her argument was that, well, we only heard one person's side. We only saw the complaint when really both sides should be shared. And although he says he still didn't agree with what Priscilla did, he does understand that both sides should be shared. So you should have it to where the complaint and the response is shared publicly available. Unfortunately, no action was taken with it as well.
Yeah, I don't expect any, but you know, I was watching both of those hearings, the Von Ellinger hearing and the Giddings hearing, and I saw the absolute corruption. I'll just call it what I saw it as, is corruption taking place. And if you don't want to call it corruption, then certainly it is the appearance of impropriety. You have two people on the committee who are chairs of committees. It used to be, prior to Mr. Bedke becoming Speaker of the House, it used to be that you could not have a chair of a committee also serve on the Ethics Committee. That was verboten. Bedke had that changed. Committee chairs serve at the pleasure of the Speaker. And so there's like an appearance of impropriety, right? These guys don't want to lose their chairs. That's a position of power. They like that. And here, especially with the Giddings thing and whatever Bedke may say he wants, they can deny it all they want. You know, they get up there and they deny that Bedke had anything or said anything. But 68% of communication is body language. And all it takes is for Bedke to raise an eyebrow or to say something a certain way or, you know, to make his face look a certain way. It doesn't take much to say, hey, and yes, I'm going to call this into question. This is certainly possible. Did it happen? Nobody can say. I certainly can't say, but I can certainly speculate. And I could say the appearance of impropriety should not be. So I think one of the rule changes needs to be nobody who's a chair of a regular committee can sit on the ethics committee. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree with you 100%. You know, and the other thing that really pops out to me with this as well is going back to somebody can make a claim against one of our members of the House or Senate, and that will be released publicly, tarnishing your reputation. I think it's common sense that you should have it to where you can defend yourself and that go out publicly as well.
Mm-hmm. So, in the Giddings situation, it was clear to me that it was a gotcha game. Because I think we've talked about previously on this podcast, on previous episodes, that if this was really about protecting the identity of Jane Doe, they would have gone to her immediately and said, hey, please take this down. Please do something. Instead, they waited till she was on the stand and they played gotcha. And they held, we can see it on your phone right here. Here it is. Instead of asking her to take it off of her Facebook feed. So yeah. To me, it was obvious if I was Priscilla Giddings, I'm going, this is obviously not about protecting the identity of Jane Doe. This is a gotcha game. They're out to get me here. And I think she was right to not play their game. And that, and yet that's what they accuse her of, is not acquiescing to their power and bowing down and kissing their ring.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I mean, Bryn Crane said as much in a town hall meeting in Nampa, where he said, hey, if she'd come to us and talked to us and played our game, then none of this would have happened. So they never again punished her for what the actual issue was that they claimed. It was all about, you didn't bow down, kiss the ring. You're going up against the Speaker of the House. So now we're going to punish you.
Right.
It was a public trial, and it was foolish.
And good observation there that, you know, you have an opportunity to at least speak to the issues. But to that end, I'm going to recommend other changes. And I know I have no position to do this, but I'm just thinking we ought to have a couple of citizens involved in the ethics committee, because I think what happened here was way inappropriate. You have the law firm of Holland and Hart, which is the go-to law firm for Scott Bedke. He funnels lots and lots of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars annually, into Holland and Hart's law firm to handle legal issues for the House of Representatives. Why is it that Holland and Hart was then chosen to help go against Bedke's political opponent for the lieutenant governor's position? Doesn't that seem like your thumb's on the scale there a little bit?
Yeah, and they've used Holland and Hart in the past, but the big thing is you should recognize that it's a conflict of interest. You should be saying, am I going to be giving hundreds of thousands of dollars to go after my political enemies to somebody who donates to my campaign? That should cause pause for anyone to say, what is the appearance? Because even if you are right in what you're doing, right, in a different scenario, if it was something where the ethics committee hearing should have happened, I don't believe it should have with Priscilla Giddings at all.
Right.
But even if it was a situation, you should be looking at it objectively and saying, am I running against this person? Or is the Speaker of the House in that instance running against this person? What is the perception? Because that will always dilute the truth at the end of the day as well.
And that's the problem. So how do you fix that? There's lots of different ways you could. One suggestion that I have is you create a pool of attorney firms, and then you have a pool of those, and they're drawn at random.
Yeah, you could do it just like bingo. You could tape their names to the bingo ball and just roll it around until one falls out.
And I go back to saying there should at least be some citizen involvement, because how easy would it have been? I mean, you have the Holland and Hart guy. He's a full partner. He's sitting in on their meetings behind the scenes. You know that they sat and talked about how they're going to write stuff up. Did you notice that, you know, Gannon and Wendy Horman and McCrosty and Crane, and then nobody said the same thing. There was no overlap of everybody had their own special focus. So, you know, it had to be coordinated.
Yeah. You know, another disgusting part about it is they, of course, after reprimanding Priscilla Giddings, now they're going, oh, well, you know, maybe we should allow some sort of protection as far as legal costs for people. So they're admitting there's a problem there as well. Mm. And Priscilla wasn't afforded the opportunity. She had to come out of pocket to represent herself. But now they're saying, hey, maybe we shouldn't do that.
What was unethical as all get out there, Josh, was Wendy Horman was snide, and she's going, here she's trying to fundraise on this as, you know, to pay for some lawyer that she appears not to have. And I'm thinking, how stupid can you be, Wendy? You have to know that she's talking to legal counsel. So how can you be so crass as to say something like that from the dais? It just was, to me, childish.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of people do consult with lawyers. And then when the lawyer tells you, hey, it's going to be an extra $20,000 that you're going to have to pay out of pocket for me to be down there just that one day, or, you know, 2 days, or however that looks, that's a lot of money, especially when you're talking about somebody who makes $17,000, $18,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. And what else was, here's Wendy Horman up there saying this, which had nothing to do with any of the complaints against Giddings. her fundraising to for legal fees had absolutely zero to do with any of the complaints. And so here's Wendy Horman just doing character assassination against Priscilla Giddings. I thought that was really hitting below the belt.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, and I hope that Priscilla did raise a lot of funds.
Based on that.
Ethics investigation.
There's so much more that could be said about the ethics committee, but I really think you need to get some citizens involved. Maybe you have some kind of vetting process. Can't be just anybody, but you have to have some people in there from the citizenry to be observers. They don't have a say in anything that, as to what goes, but then they would be able to at least go, hey, you're doing some behind the scene deals here that are totally unethical and you should not be doing it. And there needs to be accountability of the ethics committee, because the two things we've seen so far this year, I think, have been unethical beyond compare. So the ethics committee as it stands now is broke. There certainly needs to be some fixing. I'm glad to see they're at least starting to address this.
Absolutely.
Well, one of the other stories in the news is Mr. Ammon Bundy, who, as you probably are aware, he's a candidate for governor, and he also has a one-year moratorium. He's not allowed to go into the Capitol for a year. He was fined $750 and given 40 hours of community service that he had to perform. So there's an AP article out here. He's basically using his campaign activities as his community service. Did you see this?
I did. Yeah. It's an interesting argument to make, and it'll be interesting to see how the courts react to it. If you look at it objectively, right? Cause of course, getting people registered to vote, that's a great thing to do. I don't know that that would necessarily fall under community service hours. Cause again, the argument could be made, well, in that case instance, do we want to allow that pass for somebody who is pushing socialism and breadlines if they're getting people to vote? So I don't, it's one of those things that it is a hard thing to chew on. Yes, it's always great. But at the same time, I don't necessarily know that I want uneducated voters voting anyways.
Well, what's interesting is, what's the definition of community service? I'm going to hope that our court system has some definition that it uses as a standard. And the obvious question would be, does the Bundy campaign's argument match that? That'd be my first question.
Yeah. Well, you know, and also that it's beneficial to him, right? Because he's not going around the state and saying, hey, let me help you register to vote. What he's doing is he's campaigning.
Right.
And he's getting people who are going to vote for him to register to vote if they haven't voted. Mm-hmm. That's beneficial for him. I don't necessarily know that it's beneficial for the community. When I think of community service, I think of something that's beneficial to all in some way. I think that the Democrats here would argue that that was not beneficial.
They would do that, yes. Well, you know what? I was reading this article, though, and it said that the letter was sent to the court on his campaign letterhead. And to me, if I was the judge and saw that, that's like an automatic strike. If I were Mr. Bundy and trying to take this approach, I probably would not have used my campaign letterhead.
Yeah, agreed.
Fortunately, his I guess it's his campaign manager said, well, it is what it is. If the courts don't like it, then the courts don't like it. So the courts may toss it. I think they're just throwing it out there and hoping that it sticks.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you got to do that. You got to throw everything at the wall and see if something sticks that's beneficial for you.
Yeah. Well, something else that's in the news is AP story here. The Idaho budget has been in the black for a while now, a couple of years. And it's been getting bigger and bigger. And according to the AP, the Idaho budget surplus is now estimated to be $1.6 billion. The Division of Financial Management said in a news release Thursday that general fund revenues for the first 5 months of the fiscal year are $255 million above projections. That's after ending with an $890 million surplus last year. Fiscal year 2021 ended in June, at the end of June, combined with another $720 million from the increased revenue forecast. So now they've got $1.6 billion in the black. What do you think they should do with that money, Mr. Gibbons?
Well, let's start with what I think part of the money is going to go to. I think right before the elections, you're going to see a tiny little $40 check that comes to you with a nicely worded letter from the governor saying, look what I've done for you. I think they're going to return a little bit of it to us, But really, I mean, they need to look at, and this is a decision that the legislature needs to make. They need to decide what should be done with this money. But at the end of the day, if we're in a surplus, that money should be returned to the taxpayers.
It is. It belongs to us. Definitely belongs to us.
Will it come back to us? Like I said, maybe $40. I'm calling it now.
That's kind of funny, because when I was reading that, I'm thinking that Little would probably issue some kind of tax cut and then blow his horn to say how he's, you know, helped Idahoans and he deserves to be reelected.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny, we got, I think I got a $75 or $150 check before with a nicely worded letter from him talking about how great he was and what all the things great he did. But it, what he doesn't understand is that doesn't overshadow all the bad that he's done since being elected governor, including locking us down, making it to where small businesses struggled if they even survived. So those sort of things are not going to be easily forgotten, especially with a small check.
Well, unfortunately, the voting populace does easily forget, and we need to be reminding them of the bad that he did. He did shut down the state. Businesses that were established for decades went under, and then he has the gall to say, as we're building back, and I did this for you, and I did this for you, and we're building back, and I'm going, yeah, but you're the one that tore it down. You didn't have to. Kristi Noem in South Dakota, she didn't shut down. We didn't have to shut down. So much of the state that had no impact at all, no hospitalizations, not even any cases of COVID, and he just unilaterally shuts down the entire state. It's like, you know what, if you got a problem area, maybe there, sure. Maybe if you want to do that, I can at least rationalize that. But to shut down the entire state and have businesses go under, I thought was absolutely the poorest leadership decision I think I've probably ever seen.
Yeah, you know, he really wants that top-down approach where he controls things. And like a vampire, he just kept sucking for more power. It's funny, when I think of the shutdowns and I think about that check I got, it's almost like somebody hitting you and giving you a black eye and then saying, well, here's a quarter, so go ahead and forget about that. Think of all the things you could get at the vending machine.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And this guy thinks we're going to forget. And his Facebook page just talks glowingly about all the stuff that he does. And of course, you know, that's not him posting any of that. That's his staff doing that. But he has been deceitful. And by the way, I did have on my Voice of Conservative Values TV show this past week, I had Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan on. I've been wanting to get her on for a while to talk about these executive orders that she wrote. And the, especially with the constitutional crisis, with him canceling her executive order while he was out of state, my gosh, that was so illegal. And yet Wasden, the attorney general, just lets him do it. And even in his statement, he said, the courts could find different, but I'm going to say it's okay. In other words, he's like, okay, this might not be correct, but I'm going to go with it. What he did was clearly unconstitutional. The Constitution is very clear that the governor, when he leaves the state, the lieutenant governor then becomes the acting governor, period.
Yeah. You know, but for Governor Little and for our Attorney General Lawrence Wasden, it doesn't seem like the rules apply to them, especially not the Constitution. That's something that's more like a reference document for them. But, you know, if it doesn't fit their agenda, they're not going to follow it.
They're not. But I wanted to give Janice McGeehan the opportunity to talk about those things. And I thought she did a pretty good job. I didn't, you know, there's no softball questions for me. I was asking tough questions, like, you know, people say this about you. People are accusing you of this. What's your response? So I thought I was pretty fair. I tried to be very fair. And by the way, I did get some people saying, well, so now when are you going to interview Ammon Bundy and when are you going to interview Ed Humphreys? And I said, look, I did not have her on as a candidate. I had her on in her capacity as lieutenant governor. So no, I don't have to offer equal time. And I'm quite frankly, that's a national TV show. That's national news. When a governor cancels the executive order of a lieutenant governor, that's national news. And you have a constitutional crisis, that's national news. So the Voice of Conservative Values, by the way, people can watch that live on Thursday afternoons. Just go to brighteon.tv and click the live stream and watch there. It's totally free. You don't even have to register. That's every Thursday at 2 p.m. at brighteon.tv. That's BRIGHTEON.TV. We have a whole hour show that we do there.
And that's available actually on Roku too, isn't it?
It is on Roku. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I've actually downloaded the app to where I could watch it on my TV. So great show on there. But you do make a good point. It isn't something that national news, nobody's going to care about a candidate and their campaign in one of 50 states. So interviewing her as lieutenant governor, I could see how that would be beneficial because it did make national news.
Right. Well, the thing that she'd also pointed out is in her interview, she said that he's been deceitful. He continues to be deceitful. In the first half of the show, I played a video of him announcing the FDA's approval of the Pfizer vaccine. He said, now that we have a fully approved FDA vaccine, you shouldn't be scared to get the shot anymore. Well, he was being very disingenuous because there are no COVID vaccines approved for use in the United States. And the way he was talking was that now that's been approved, we can now issue approved vaccines in Idaho. That's not true. There are no approved vaccines, even still, in the United States. What Pfizer did was they approved a vaccine for use outside of the U.S. So for our governor to get up and tell the citizens of Idaho that we now have approved vaccines and you should go get one, I thought disingenuous at best, probably could be called a lie.
Yeah. I mean, that's just what he does. I mean, it's just like how he touts about how he removed all these regulations and he took credit for it, met with Donald Trump when Donald Trump was the president and just stood there smiling like he did it. And the fact of the matter is the state legislature, you know, held their ground and he was forced to do that. Mm-hmm. But yet again, here he is taking credit for something that he didn't do.
Mm-hmm. Well, kind of along those lines, he also lied with the statement put out that she was trying to call out the National Guard the morning that he left. Turns out, by the way, he didn't even notify her that he'd left. Again, really poor leadership. And how do you account for his behavior as the leader of a state when he leaves the state? He's in an airplane. He's not reachable. And so for how many, 3-4 hours from one destination to another, he's not reachable. And so if there's a problem in the state, if there's an emergency, if there's a earthquake or who knows what happens and something needs to happen, she needs to call out the National Guard. Lieutenant Governor has to know what to do. So what she had done was she had contacted the Adjutant General for the National Guard and said, hey, we understand that there's some issues at the border. And if we need to call out the National Guard and I'm the acting governor, what's the process to do that? So he, as I'm told, issued a reply and CC'd someone on Little's campaign. And 20 minutes later, she gets a phone call from the Associated Press saying, why did you call out the National Guard? Or why did you try to call out the National Guard? That was what was reported in the press, but that's not what happened at all. So again, more deceit coming from the governor's office.
Yeah, it's politics as usual for Brad Little. I mean, look, he was just in Las Vegas or Reno. I can't remember which one. No notification of it. I think it was because it was a photo was shared showing him there that really got people's attention that he was out of state again. So what it's doing is he's suppressing the people's voices because we did elect Brad Little, but we also elected Janice McGeehan. And it's because we wanted to make sure that when he was out of state, that we had an acting governor. And clearly he doesn't want that.
No, he says in his letters that we've seen that I've not authorized you to do anything. It's like he doesn't have to. She's the acting governor. When he's gone, she has full power of the governorship. That's how that works. But something else, and that kind of led me to talking about this, was about pulling a stunt. He accused her of trying to send out the National Guard, which she did not do. And he says, besides, we've already sent Idaho State Police down to the border to help. I already did something. Well, you know what he did? He sent 5 Idaho State police officers to the Arizona border for 3 weeks. This is what he did. He sent 5 officers to the border for 3 weeks. I don't know if you've been looking at the news, Josh, but there are lots and lots of people crossing the border illegally. And the governor's going to blow his horn saying, hey, I sent ISP down to the border. Well, what he didn't say was it was 5 guys for 3 weeks. Whip-de-doo. It's like trying to drain the Titanic with a Dixie cup.
Well, how embarrassing, too. I mean, he had just gone down there and had his pictures taken, met with Border Patrol, where they talked about the issues with the governors. And yet that's all he could send. It's an embarrassment. And to tout and say, look at me, this is what I did. It's just, it's truly disheartening to hear, but this is what we can expect from our governor.
Well, from Brad Little anyways. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's wrap up the show today by talking about more of the governor's actions, or should we say inactions. There's an article over at the Magic Valley Liberty Alliance websites that was originally published at Readout News by Karen Schumacher. And Hilbert Nelson put it up over at the Magic Valley Liberty Alliance. And quite frankly, I'm kind of remiss. I should have had this up also on True Idaho News. Maybe I'll get it up there soon. But this is talking about how IACI is turning Idaho blue. And for those who don't know, you're going to hear us talking about it a whole lot more, because IACI is dangerous to Idaho. It is crony capitalism at its worst. People say they hate capitalism. No, they don't hate capitalism. They hate crony capitalism. And that's what's happening with IACI. IACI stands for the Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry. And I'm going to provide a link in the show notes for this article, which I will encourage you to go read and share with your friends. Share it online on social media, because Idahoans need to learn about IACI and how dangerous they are. They are really working to further the globalist agenda. And you're going to say, oh, Bobinski, you got your tinfoil hat on again. Not when you go read their documents. Not when you read what their goals are. This isn't some kind of theory. Go read the documents. Look at what they themselves are saying. They're aligned with the World Economic Forum, with the Great Reset. If you've not heard about that, I know Facebook was saying, oh, that's false information. That never happened. That's a conspiracy theory. Go to the World Economic Forum itself. Punch them up on a search engine. Go there and look at their information about the Great Reset. So if they're talking about the Great Reset and we're saying it's the Great Reset, guess what? It's not a theory. We're just pointing out to facts. Agenda 2030, ESG goals, all the mandatory vaccines we're seeing, all the LGBTQWERTY ideology we're seeing in schools, all the gender studies stuff, all of this stuff is being pushed from a woke globalist agenda. And again, look at it yourself. Bayer, Blue Cross, Clearwater Paper, Idaho Forest Group, Idaho Power, Idaho Realtors Pack, J.R. Simplot, Micron, Potlatch, Regents Blue Shield, Idaho Hospital Association. There's so many companies that are tied into this, and they are pushing a globalist agenda to take away liberties from Idahoans. Our government was set up so that we, the people, decide how things happen. It is a government of, by, and for the people. It is of and by. We decide who to elect to represent us, to then go to the state house and pass legislation that represents us. Is what they call it, represent, the representing, the representative of us, the people. And our education system has done a really good job of dumbing us all down for the past half a century or longer, so that we start thinking that we're electing leaders. We're not electing leaders. We're electing people to fill positions in a government system that's supposed to help us, not to squish us. Josh, any thoughts on IACI?
You know, IACI, you can see with the companies that they represent and also with the people that they give money to that are running for office, you can clearly see how that all aligns with the voting records that don't represent us. They represent special interests. But it's not surprising at all that there is that tie to the UN, right? So I think this is, it just goes back to why it's so important that we meet the candidates, because at the end of the day, you know, they believe that the people with the most money are who's going to prevail. So we've got to, as citizens, get involved, wear out a couple pairs of shoes, and go door to door for the candidates that represent the people, mm-hmm. not special interests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, because as it says in this article, IACI does not promote free markets or your rights or free enterprise. They are actually promoting the goals, the objectives of the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset Initiative, goals of the United Nations, the Sustainable Development Goals, all of this stuff is what IACI is pushing. You will not find the Boise Co-op represented in IACI. They're too small. They're small potatoes. They only want major corporations with big bucks who can pull strings and get things done in cooperation with these globalist agendas. And I know it sounds like I'm wearing a tinfoil hat. I'm not. Go put on your reading glasses and go read these things for yourself.
Yeah, it's a lot of information to ingest, but it is extremely important that people do.
Yeah, we'll be talking more about IACI as we go, because this is what runs the Senate. The House has 70 people, and you have to really influence a lot of folks in the House to make something change, but the Senate only has 35. All you need to do is control 18 people and their actions and their votes, and you pretty much run Idaho. So that's why all this legislation gets passed through the House with veto-proof votes, and it goes to the Senate, and it gets stuck in a drawer because someone from IACI is saying, yeah, we don't want that bill to go through. So make sure you don't vote for that.
Yeah, and you'll see it too. I remember the first year I went down to the State House here in Idaho. I watched one of our members of the House just walk by, and they looked at a lobbyist and said, you said to vote no on this, right? And they said, yeah, vote no. Again, it's astonishing to me. It was right out in the open too. Like, it wasn't even behind closed doors. It's just, they're meeting with these people. They're making the decisions, and these lawmakers are following it. Because again, you went through a long laundry list of companies that are involved with IACI. And if you look at the donations to those same statists, you'll notice that you see a lot of the same reoccurring names. Well, who's actually making those donations? Do you think that Bayer and Blue Cross of Idaho are actually writing these checks and determining? No, they're sending this money to IACI. And these lawmakers who don't represent the people but represent special interests know that when they vote the way that IACI wants, they're not getting one check for $1,000. They're getting multiple checks for $1,000. So you just have to make one person happy. You can clear $10,000 easily.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that goes a long way in a campaign for one small district.
It does.
I was told by several of the House members that during this special session that the lobbyists for IACI didn't go to the House at all, that all the people who were testifying on behalf or against certain bills were all on the Senate side talking to the senators, just confirming they know they need to sway just so many senators and then they get their way. So this is something that we just need people in Idaho to know more about.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it there as well. So, you know, it is one of those things that they knew. It doesn't matter what the House does. We'll kill it in the Senate.
Yeah, it is big changes. And speaking of stuff in the Senate, let's wrap up, I should say, one more story. We've been talking about before that Mr. Greg Cheney has decided to run for Senate. That is really not a good idea for Idahoans to elect Greg Cheney to anything. He's totally a statist. He does not care about the people. He carries water for Scott Bedke. He carries water for Governor Little. He just does whatever his puppet masters tell him to do. And he's kind of a jerk about it. And yet here he is.
Well, he just doesn't have enough law experience to run for attorney general yet. That's what it is. So, you know, for him, I think it's probably the next logical step. But it is important. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people working to make sure he does not get reelected.
Or, well, elected to the Senate, because he's not going to run for reelection in the House.
Right.
But also I saw, and I think you were telling me you saw it too, is that video of him, someone put together just a two and a half minute video talking about how he's made all these bad decisions. We should put a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You should, so if you're watching this anywhere, just scroll down and click on the link to watch the little 2.5 minute video about Greg Cheney, just so you know a little bit more about this guy. And whenever we find out who's running against Greg Cheney, we'll let you know.
So update on that.
You can act accordingly.
So if the boundary lines actually stay how they are proposed right now, which they will change, but I don't know how much, there is somebody who has declared that they will be running against Greg Cheney, and he is a phenomenal candidate. I've spent many hours talking to him. So fingers crossed he'll end up in the same district still with Greg Cheney.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, that man does not deserve any elected seat in this state. He does not represent the people. He only represents special interests. He's proven that with the legislation he's tried to pass in the House. legislation he's supported or opposed. He's just proven that he does not represent the people, does not deserve to be a representative. All right, Josh, thus endeth our show. I want to remind people to contact Tom Lopak with Picture Perfect Window Cleaning. Get your windows cleaned, your screens repaired, your gutters cleaned, your power washing done, all before New Year's. Give him a call at 401-6265 and tell him you heard about it on the True Idaho News podcast for a 10% discount. Josh, thanks so much for joining me today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And thank you for tuning in to the True Idaho News podcast. My name is Daniel Bobinski, editor of True Idaho News. The True Idaho News podcast is copyrighted 2021 by Shadow Trail Media. We encourage you to tell all your friends about this. Share the podcast. Get the word out. We'll catch you next time. Until then, be blessed.
You've been listening to the True Idaho News podcast. Unfiltered news and opinion for the citizens of Idaho. Get more True News by visiting TrueIdahoNews.com. If you'd like to support this podcast, visit TrueIdahoNews.com/support. Thanks for listening.